Good morning, everyone. I'd like to invite you to stand and sing with us on O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. The words are on the screen.
Call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 80 and Isaiah. It says this, "Restore us, O God. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field." What's happened to the flowers out in front of the church? They're gone. And we won't see them till next spring. Our lives are like that, like grass that withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. God's word stands forever. Amen. I got a children's sermon today. Someone asked me if I remembered it, and I go like, I did. So if you are 65 and older, you can come on up. No, no. If there are any kids in the house, come on up. You can sit right in this pew right here, and I will try my best to do this. I'm sorry about the band. You got to stand and listen to this. It's more time for you up here. Oh, yeah, that's what I need there. That's my prop there. Thank you there, McKenna. All right, we do have some. Oh, here comes some more. Great, great. More kids. All right, come on up here, Bryn. Let me see here. What is it I'm supposed to do here? All right, we're going to listen to two rings today. Do you know what this is? What? It's not just a clock. What kind of a clock do you call this? There it is. Thanks, McKenna. It's an alarm clock because you can set it and you can wind it up and it will, that's what it does. Alarm clock, you set it to where you, when you want to wake up. Now, some of you probably have, you don't have one of these, do you? Because your alarm clock is your mom or your dad. Oh, you got digital? I know, I'm kind of old school here. Yeah, and you got the cell phone. All right, all right. But we're going to listen to two rings. Now, Christmas is kind of like the alarm clock. We know when it's going to happen. We know when the alarm is going to go off, what time, because we set it at that time. That's the time we have to get up or do something. But Christmas, we know it's coming. It's on the 25th of December, and somebody just picked that date. We don't know for sure when Jesus was born, but we know that he did come. And you're going to hear a little bit more about that in the message later today of a prophet that talked about Jesus coming probably over 700 years ago, at least 600 years ago. Amazing. All right, so this is... when do you open gifts?
Whenever time
Christmas Eve? How about you? Oh, wow. I bet you it's hard to sleep then that night, isn't it?
Yeah.
So as soon as you get up on Christmas Day, you can open up the rest of the gifts, but you get to open up one on Christmas Eve. That sounds kind of corny, but that's okay. I mean, do what you want to do as a family. That's fine. How about you kids? When do you open up your gifts? Oh, you don't get no gifts. Oh, that's what... Okay, when you wake up, you can open up the rest of the gifts? Okay, you got to wait for mom and dad, and then it's more organized, huh?
See, you guys, we're not corny. They do it too.
Nobody's talking to you over there, okay? This is my children's sermon here. You open up all Christmas Eve. Yep, that's what we used to do too. We'd open up Christmas Eve after we had to milk the cows. You don't even know what cows look like, do you? No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Okay.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Milk cows are black and white. Yeah. All right. We got to move on here because I can't do this all morning. All right. So now we got to listen for another ring. We got the ring of the alarm clock. Oh. See, I'm high tech too. But I turned it off last night. Do you hear that? That's the way the phones used to sound. Now you can put any kind of sound you want on your phone, right? Okay. You got the idea there. We don't know when this phone is going to call. It's all up to somebody else who calls us. But we never know when this one's going to go off, when we're going to call. We know when this is going to go off because we set the time. And so we know that we have to wait for this, or sometimes we don't even know. Sometimes we answer it, sometimes we don't. Who is calling me? Yes? Okay. All right. I'll get going with this. Okay. All right. Thanks. Bye. All right. I'm not going to answer this ever again. So we know that that God told us the first time that Jesus was coming. That's kind of like the alarm clock. The phone is, we don't know when he's going to come again. That's up to him when he calls. And we've heard a little bit about that in the past couple of Sundays. We know that Jesus is coming again, and we are to just make sure that we are ready when he comes. Right? All right. And how do you know if you're ready? How do you know if you're ready? Tristan. You believe in Jesus. It's just that simple, isn't it? We trust in him. We know he's going to return. And so that's what I just kind of want to impress upon you this morning, is that God told us the first time Jesus was coming. He also says he's going to come the second time, but we just don't know when the second time is. We know the first time he was born in Bethlehem. The second time we don't know, but we are to be ready. So I hope you're ready, that you love Jesus, and that's the main thing. So I just want to thank you for coming up here, being brave, because you don't have to look at all these other people here. But I do. So thanks for coming up. Can I just say a little prayer with you? Heavenly Father, thank you for these boys and girls. Thank you for the Christmas that is coming, that they are looking forward to. It doesn't come fast enough when you're kids. And then it comes, and it's all over with, and there's nothing but paper and boxes and all kinds of chaos. But that's kind of what we remember. And so I just thank you for them, and thank you for their moms and dads and the homes that they come from. Bless them today and every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed. Make sure you go back and sit with your mom and dad.
wonderful Savior, glorious Lord.
Song. Welcome to Harbor of Joy on this first Sunday of Advent. You can see the first candle is lit. We do that four Sundays before Christmas Day. And thank you, Brian, for lighting it. You want to say anything? You don't have to. No. But you know, looking for volunteers to do children's sermons from here on out. Anybody want to volunteer? Talk to me after church today, and I'll be more than glad to let you do it. So thanks, kids, for coming up. And just some announcements I want to highlight is, first of all, it's not in the bulletin, but thank you for the prayers for Steve Letcher this past week. I mean, he's got 18 studs in his jawbone. So you know what's going on with him. You lose count after 10, don't you, Steve? I told him today, I said, we could call him a big stud. So there's 13 studs to put in. He's getting some teeth put in, you know, so there are temporaries that are there. But he just wanted to say thanks for the prayers that you have given to him. They put him under for about 3 hours to do these kinds of things, and he's getting that taken care of. And there's still more like it's going to go on, right? Yeah, so keep him in your prayers as well. Also, just want to remind you that there's going to be a Christmas program. The Joy Kids are going to do that on a Wednesday. It will be supper at 5:15. The program will be at 6 o'clock. I mean, you're welcome. Everyone is invited to come to be a part of that. But there's one request that Amy shared with me this morning. She wants Christmas sweaters. If you've got a Christmas sweater or more than one, she'd like to have them here before this Wednesday, or on Wednesday, bring them so that the kids can wear them, that they're practicing their program type of thing. So it doesn't matter if they fit or not, does it?
No, you know. Just before 3 o'clock.
Okay, bring them before 3 o'clock on Wednesday if you've got sweaters that will work. You know, they say the ugly Christmas sweater. There's no such thing as an ugly Christmas sweater. They're all nice. Just want you to know that. I don't know where they got that from. Property committee is meeting today following the church service, and the choir practice will take place because Bob and Lisa are here. Bob's going to be at the piano up front here in the sanctuary practicing two songs that you looked at, I think, last Sunday as well. But that will continue today. Wednesday, the women have a luncheon at One-on-One in Arnold's Park. And there's a sign up, I believe, in the kitchen on the refrigerator. If you haven't signed up yet or talked to someone to say, where is the kitchen at and where is the refrigerator, they will take you there or they will help you with that. But they want to meet at One-on-One. And if you've never been to a ladies' luncheon before, Norma Lubinis is going to pay for your lunch. So we're glad for that. And if she doesn't want to do it, she'll pass it to Donna Tilber. So anyway, But if that's something that the ladies always look forward to do, one-on-one at Arnold's Park, and that starts at 11:30, but they like to know how many to plan for. That's why we have a sign-up sheet for that. Next Sunday as well, I'm going to ask Maria Watke. I'm going to have her come up. I'm going to interview her a little bit because she wants to go to Tanzania, Africa with Patty Griffith to Next Life Foundation, I think, is what she started there. And so she wants to go there, and she needs some help to get there. So we're going to have a love offering for her that will go towards her plane ticket and the things that she might need to head in that direction. So they're going to be going the end of January. So we're going to just have a basket for her. You can talk to her personally or give her a gift personally if you want to. But there will be a basket probably out in the foyer or at the table for refreshments type of thing that will go toward her. If you make out a check, just you can make it out to Harbor of Joy, H-O-J, and just put on there a footnote or memo or something that goes for it. Just put Maria on there, and we'll know where it will go, and she will get that as well. So those are all the announcements that I'm going to share today. There's probably more in your bulletin. Read them and make yourself aware of what's going on. And we are thankful that we can give these announcements as well. But let's have a word of prayer before we move on into the brief order of confession and forgiveness this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, as Christmas is coming. This is the month. It's hard to believe it's December. It's even amazing to believe that there's no snow, where it even feels like Christmas time. But maybe that will happen before Christmas. We don't know. But we do know, Lord, that we are going to celebrate the birth of the Christ child, the birth of Jesus. And help us to prepare our hearts. May we be preparing each and every day as we just think of this great gift that came from heaven to us as you came to seek and to save those who are lost, and that's all of us. May we receive your gift, Lord, today. We don't have to wait till Christmas. We can receive Jesus into our hearts and lives by faith even today. And that's always a wonderful and great thing as well. So Lord, may you be with everyone that is here this morning. May you open our ears and open our eyes and open our hearts to receive from you all that takes place today as we come before your table and receive your sacrament today as well. We hear your word. We sing songs. We listen. There's a lot of things here today that will last for all eternity. It's not just a one and done time, but these things are eternal things when we receive them by faith. And so thank you that we can have your presence here with us today. We are honored by this. May you speak to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our brief order of confession and forgiveness begins by saying this: in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If we say we have no sin, I hope no one here says that. We are all sinners. But the scripture says if we say we have no sin, that's found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, I believe. We deceive ourselves if we say we don't have no sin, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let's take some time of just some reflection, quietness, and confess your sin if there is any, as there should be. Ask the Holy Spirit to search your heart, to point out to you what you need to ask forgiveness for this morning. And he will do this for us on our behalf. Let's take some time in silence for this to take place. Search us, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us. Use this time in a mighty way this morning. In changing our hearts, changing our thoughts, in a way that only you can. Thank you for the privilege. Thank you for making it simple. May we just, like the kids said in the children's sermon today, just believe in Jesus, trust in him. We know we're ready when we are doing, when we have that relationship with Jesus Christ. So thank you, Lord. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in your mercy, you have given us your Son who has laid down his life for us, so that we may have forgiveness for our sins. Amen.
Temptation, but deliver us.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Lynn, for playing as well. Do you sing opera?
Yes.
You could, I bet. I can tell. I can tell. Really? Wow. Thank you so much. Also forgot to thank those that, and did you notice the decorating in the church and things like that? Thanks to so many of you that were a part of that. Thank you, Becky Rowe, for making that happen as well. You know, a lot of people were involved in making what you see before us, and the problem is that it's all going to have to be taken down someday. But we'll enjoy it. Thank you so much. And if you do have poinsettias, you know, if you want to bring them, you sure can bring them at any time. And we'll get them set up here too. We hope that there will be some more that will be coming. I know we want to put one out in the foyer on a table out there, kind of more of a bigger one, if there's anyone that...
One was
brought today. One was? Oh. Okay. Forgive me. I didn't see it. So glad that we can do these kinds of things and make it feel a little bit more homey and cozy as well as a family of God. Well, I invite you to stand if you're able to stand, and we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Now, Isaiah, the verses in Isaiah are always longer. So bear with me as I read God's word here from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, for her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for them. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers his lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Lord, thank you for these words spoken so many centuries, millennia ago, but they're here for us today. It's true, your word does stand forever. May it do so even this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever picked up a phone and not recognized the person's voice? Man, I went through that when I first came here. And of course, you probably heard me at different times too, like, who is this? Or you looked at the phone number and you go like, I don't know that phone number, and so I'm not going to answer it. And I don't always leave a message either. I just kind of go like, okay, nobody's home. But you've all been there where you have heard someone call, or you have called someone and they kind of go like, who am I talking to? Who are you? And we know it's very important to know who you're talking to, because there's a face that comes to mind when you speak to him or to her. And you feel a whole lot more comfortable and secure once you got the face with the voice. We have an unknown voice that's been given to us here by the prophet Isaiah. And what he is saying here, I'm not going to go in depth at all in what he says here, but I just want to point out three things. But he talks about a voice of one that is calling. There is a voice that is calling. It's a prophetic voice given to Isaiah from God. It happens more than 600 years, maybe 700 years before Jesus is born. And so it's something that the people have heard, have been taught, and not knowing really what he's really talking about until it happens when Jesus comes onto the scene. Well, that's going to all make sense to them. But Isaiah says in his words here that he's coming to give them tender words of comfort. Now, what's been going on in the lives of these people at the time that Isaiah speaks these words? The Israelites have been captured by the Babylonians and taken to Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq or Iran. And they'll be there for a good 70 years. They will return back. And when they return back, the Lord has always still said to them, he's never left them, he never forgot about them. He has still been there with them. But he's being gracious to them. And that's why Isaiah is to give comforting words to them. God is for them and is with them. God has forgiven their sins. What they've gone through in their captivity, God has said, I know what you've been going through. You don't need any more law to be given to you. You need to be given grace that I will give to you by forgiving you of your sins. They did not hear from the river to the sea as they hear today. But they're hearing words of comfort here. But he goes on and he says, all men, he's talking about all men, all women, all children are like grass and flowers of the field. All of them will wither one day. Some of you have withered already from what you used to be. I am in the process. And do you like it? I don't know of anyone who likes it. But the day is coming. It's a lot closer than it ever has been. When we will die. Just to be honest. Because Romans 3:23 says, for all fall short of God's glory. That's all of us. We all fall short. Only he can forgive us and to make us perfect and to, no matter what happens in our lives, he is able to come and give us words of comfort. As some of you here today need words of comfort in what you have been through and have gone through recently or a number of years ago. There's another voice, not one just calling, but it's a voice of preparation. The voice that Isaiah is talking about, it comes from an unusual place. It's a voice that's in a desert. Not from Jerusalem, but from the desert. And we know because of the New Testament, we know that this voice that he's talking about is the person known as John the Baptist. He was a strange character in his day. He was not like all the religious people were in his day because he would go outside of Jerusalem. He would go to the Jordan River and he would preach repentance and that the people could come and be baptized. It's a baptism of repentance. And we know that there were some of the Pharisees, some of the religious leaders that went out there just to hear him and to watch him and kind of probably stand off at a distance, but they could hear what's going on and have their arms folded, and they'd kind of go like, this guy is really a wacko. He didn't dress like them. He didn't eat the same kinds of food as them. But the people went out there to hear what he had to say because he spoke the truth to them. And so he's preparing the people, preparing them for the Messiah that is going to come to them. And the word Messiah is from the Hebrew language, their own language, means the anointed one. In the Greek language, it would be Christ. The word Christ is the same as the word Messiah in the Hebrew. And Jesus himself preached the same way that John the Baptist did because they were cousins. But know that Jesus himself is also God. And when he came, he preached the same thing. He preached repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And the people, do you think they wanted to hear this? I think there's some that probably did. But there's a lot that didn't want to hear it. But they were glad they were there and that they did hear this message right from God. So we got the voice of one calling from Isaiah's prophetic voice. We have a voice of preparation that comes to us through John the Baptist in the New Testament. And the third voice that we hear here is one of good news. The voice of good news in Jerusalem to the people who have come back from captivity. They're going to hear good news. And so he proclaims the truth to them that there is someone who's going to come who will be like a good shepherd. And we know who that good shepherd is if you look in chapter 10 of John in the New Testament. It's Jesus Christ. But Isaiah describes what this man is going to look like or what he's going to be like. He's not going to be a Republican or a Democrat or an independent, but he's going to be a man after God's own heart. And he's a good shepherd. And it says that he will be kind of a person that will gather the lambs in his arms. And he'll carry them close to his heart. That's how much God loves you, how much he cares about you. Even when times you don't think he cares about you, he's probably holding you tight against his heart more than you can imagine. And he says that he will gently lead those who have young families. And he comes not only for those who are young, but those who have young. Moms, kids. He came for all. So the voice speaks of someone calling out, someone wanting for you to be preparing yourself and to be prepared for his arrival. And then it's a voice of good news that Jesus did everything for you on the cross. He was a perfect guy, perfect man. And to go to the cross meant that he'd be looked upon as a criminal by the passerbys and by the people. And for him to be crucified in the very middle between two thieves meant that he was the worst criminal of them all. And yet he had no sin. One thief saw it, saw who he was. Enough to say, Lord, remember me on the day when you go to paradise. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me. Everything that Jesus said on the cross, no human being could have ever said. So if you just think about those words that he spoke on the cross and those who heard them, how it had to touch their lives and their hearts in big ways, and some people could care less. Some of the Roman soldiers could care less. Now that can't happen to people that go to church too, can it? You could just care less. It does. It can happen. But you know, God does not always have to come in a loud voice. God does not have to come in a loud voice. Was that loud enough? But he can also come in a still, small voice. He can speak to you when you're supposed to be listening to me. But I'd rather you listen to him than to me. But it can be a still, small voice. It can be you driving a car or going somewhere on a trip, and all of a sudden you're thinking about things, you go like, now where did that come from? God can speak in a still, small voice. And he can speak in a very direct way too. I would hope that that's the reason why you find it important to go to church on a Sunday morning or whenever you go. Because you know that there's something that you need to hear from God about. And you know it may not feel good, but you know that's what you need. What you need to hear. And so God can speak in a very direct way. And so I would just ask you this question this morning. Do you sense where God is speaking to you right now? Is he speaking to you? Words of comfort. Words that are direct. But you know it's him that's talking to you. And he does it because he cares about you and he loves you. He's done everything possible that he ever can do to show that he loves you. So if you recognize his voice, don't hang up. If you recognize his voice, stay tuned. There's something he really finds that he wants to say to you. It's very important for you and your life. Don't hang up. But recognize his voice. All those who know Jesus will recognize his voice. If you don't recognize the voice, then are you a sheep or are you a goat? We talked about that last week. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we need Jesus to be our shepherd in our lives. It may be a process, it may be a long process, but we know all along the way that he's the most important person to listen to, the most important person to follow, the most important Savior we could ever have. And so a lot of different kinds of musicals will be taking place this month, Christmas programs taking place. It's easy for us, Lord, to get caught up in all the hoopla and miss out on the real main point of why this is taking place and what the main message is. It's just not to see kids look cute or to hear them say cute things. It's that we need Jesus in our lives and in our homes, in our marriages, in our schools. In our nursing homes, hospitals, places of work, even people we come to meet need to hear this good news. We hear enough bad news, let's hear some good news. We can share good news about Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, as we have time to think through some of these things, as we come to your table this morning, may we hear your still small voice in the midst of this sanctuary today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are able to, I invite you to stand as we recite the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Some of you have probably not been here when we've had communion, and those of you that have been here, just hang with me here. I just have to say these things. That if you're new here, we invite you to come to the Lord's table because Jesus invites everyone. You don't have to be a member of Harbor of Joy. If you're just here visiting, you know, I just want you to know that you are more than welcome to come and partake of the communion service. You don't have to, but it's just up to you what you want to do. There's two stations. We'll have ushers that will release you. If you want to come up here to this station, this is the first station. And if you want to be served, you walk and receive your elements here and go back and sit down. If you want to come up to the railing up here and receive communion up there, you sure can do that. If you can't kneel, that's okay. You don't have to kneel up here, even though there's a kneeler there. But if you can't, that's okay. If you just want to come up there, you spend as much time as you want praying and receive the sacrament up here. But when you're done, just go off to the side and go back and sit down where you feel comfortable in sitting here in the sanctuary. If you have not been through confirmation, we just say, like, we'll bless you. But we think it's very important that you know what you're doing when you take communion. That's the reason why we put an emphasis on confirmation. Because you'll learn about why we do communion and what's all a part of communion. And so if you're a child here today, or if you haven't gone through confirmation, I will probably know that. But I also leave it up to the parents. If you know your child better than I do, that if they have a relationship with Jesus, I mean, that's between you and them type of a thing. I'm not going to jump over the railing and attack you type of a thing. But I leave that, it's a family thing too. So if you're gluten-free, we do have little packages here. The wafer is in, no one can touch it. It's right there. If you want that, you can take that. And if you don't want to have wine, you just want grape juice, you just hold your hand like this. We just want to be sensitive to everybody here. So with that being said, I will commence with what we say before we take communion. On the night in which Jesus was betrayed, he's with his disciples and he says to them, as he takes the bread, he breaks it. And he says to them, "This is my body, take and eat, all of us, in remembrance of me." And after he gave them the bread, he took the cup, He gave thanks to his Father. And he said to his disciples, "This is my blood given for you. Drink all of it in remembrance of me." Something very new to them at the time. You kind of all see them kind of scratching their heads or looking at each other like, "What is this all about? His body? His blood?" Sometimes we're like that too. We don't always understand everything. But we take it because this is something that Jesus says is very important to those who love him and those who follow him. And we're to do this until he comes again. I'll invite the servers to come, and then once we're ready, we can have you come and partake.
Jesus, like the fragrance.
Jesus, Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and something about that name. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore. Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising, let us drink the cup together on our knees. Let us drink the cup together on our knees. When I fall on my knees to the rising sun. Oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us pray.
Everybody get served? Anyone not get served? Raise your hand. Okay. Our crucified and risen Lord Jesus Christ, who has now given you his holy body and blood, through which he has made full satisfaction for all your sins, may he strengthen and preserve you in true faith unto everlasting life. Let's pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
Let's stand and sing our closing, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus.
Thanks be to God.